11 a.m. here from Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick here with you as Darren McFarland is headed downstairs for a pregame interview for tonight's contest. It is the Nashville Predators against the Los Angeles Kings. The Kings coming in at 23-30-6, and they have struggled of late. But the Predators have had their struggles against teams like the Kings here the last couple of times they've played teams of that nature. And I think last week of the Red Wings game, the Red Wings have struggled, but they managed to win in a game that the Predators badly outplayed the Red Wings for the most part, but still came up short. A good effort by goaltender Jimmy Howard. So, of course, you always have to deal with Jonathan Quick when you play the Kings. And Nashville, at least for the morning skate, were without Victor Arvidsson and Craig Smith. And so they would not reveal, at least Peter Laviolette would not, whether either of those players would be available tonight. So that is the backdrop of what we have. Pre-game show tonight at 6 o'clock. Darren will get it started. The game, of course, will be called by Pete Weber and Hal Gill at 7. And on the TV side, it is an NBC Sports game. So you go to NBC Sports Network to watch tonight. Should be another great crowd. And so we'll see everybody here in Smashville. Now, we gave you all of the feedback, all of the smoke going on here with these trade rumors involving the Predators. There's no question that they are looking at a lot of options here. Nothing has been done yet, and there's still an option of not doing anything. You can always walk away. But I would like to hear, since it's just me and the listeners right now, what you guys think about some of these things that have been floated out here. What price would you be willing to pay if you were a general manager to get a guy like Matt Duchene, or do you not like the idea at all? So you tell me. We got the lines wide open right now, and so I'd love to hear from some Predator fans. 737-1025. That's 737-1025. One small piece of news, a lot of people were wondering. In fact, had a note on Twitter here about Devontae Smith-Pelly, a playoff hero last year for the Washington Capitals, who was placed on waivers. Nobody bit. 31 teams had a chance, and it was just reported that he cleared waivers. So pretty interesting. That's a guy that has bounced around to a lot of different teams, and he made a really nice contribution on the world champion, you know, the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals last year, but his stock has certainly dropped for sure. 737-1025, again, wide open. Would love to hear from some Predator fans on what would you be willing to pay, if anything, for a guy like Matt Duchene? Or are you interested in a different player? Are you not interested in making a big splash like that? You tell me what you think, and we'll get you on here quick. 737-1025 is the phone number. So other things to look for tonight. We mentioned that Winnipeg got smoked last night by Colorado, 7-1. So Nashville still has played two more games than the Jets, but they are only 1 point behind them in the standings. So Nashville still hanging around right there in the Central Division race. St. Louis, who has won 11 in a row, will have a chance to continue that streak tonight, but they are in Dallas. And so Dallas, of course, desperate to win. That's an interesting matchup that we'll see here tonight as well. Winnipeg, having played last night, is off tonight. As I look, they are not in action. Other games of note in the Western Conference: Arizona at Vancouver, two teams that I just, in my mind, I do not see as playoff teams, but they're still right there in that race for the last wild card spot. Elsewhere in the West, Minnesota is at the Rangers. We just mentioned that they made the trade Charlie Coyle for Ryan Donato and a fifth round pick, and the Sharks are in Pittsburgh tonight. Let's go to the phones and pick some brains of Predator fans. 737-1025. We still have some lines open. We'd love to get you in there and get your opinion. Vinny, on line two. Hey. Vinny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Willie. I think that one of my biggest concerns is, you know, we had the President's Trophy last year. This year we were still, you know, we held first place in the NHL for quite a while. Yeah, we got hit with injuries and stuff like that. But that tells me that we have the team. So I mean, going out and getting somebody, I mean, I don't think it really solves the problem. I don't think it's the go-to. I think there's a click that's just not there, and I don't know if that's just a matter of these guys really getting to the place where they maybe drop another level in the playoff rankings. I don't know, but it just seems like they need their own self-kick to get them going because they've got the talent.
What is it in your mind, Vinny? What is the problem?
You know, that's a really good question.
Because the whole idea would be to improve what you have right now.
Yeah.
But if you feel like they're lacking, where are they lacking? And so, you're saying it's more of a mental thing?
I do think it's a mental thing. I do think that they could use another scorer. There's no doubt in my mind. I think when they went out and they were going for Duchesne and they picked up Turris instead, I think that they got what they could, but they just weren't willing to go for Duchesne, and I think that's showing because Turris was clicking with Fiala last year, but he's not in the place where he's doing that anymore. They have to sign Yossi pretty soon. I'm thinking if they're going to do anything, put PK Subban on the trade block and see what they can get for him because he's a defenseman that everybody likes, and the Preds are what, third in the NHL in goals against. So why not? Why not go ahead and say, we've got defensemen coming up in AHL. We can go ahead and pick up maybe a defenseman and a shooter, you know, by putting him out there. I don't, to me, PK's got $9 million, price tag on him, and we're going to have to start signing people like Yossi, who's coming up, and I think there's a couple of other guys that they have to sign. I think they can get a real good, whether it be Stone or whether it be somebody else that they can use as a winger. I think, why not put them out there? Why not see what they can get for them?
Interesting. So you want to make a trade, but you're saying you would make a major shakeup. If you're going to trade somebody like PK Subban, that's
right.
A major shakeup right there.
It is, but think about it. They don't want to get rid of Fiala. They don't want to get rid of Tolovan. So why give up what you really want to keep when there's a lot of people who want Subban, and they could do a one-for-one and not lose any of their draft picks and not lose the guys who are coming up? And I see Fiala's too good. Yeah, okay, man, he's not he's not doing what everyone expected, but that's a lot of pressure too. He is a fantastic player, and he's too young for them to just throw him away and say, well, he's not giving us what we want. I think that giving away Subban, you have somebody who's established, all the backings are there for people to say, hey, this guy is a Norris Trophy. Let's go ahead and see what we can get for him. Keep the core team together. Keep our talent that we have in the lower levels together, and see what happens. Now, I don't know if Poyle has even considered this.
So you would go something like Subban for Duchesne or Stone, somebody like that. You're saying?
Yeah, because
straight up.
I mean, I think Edmonton has a player that I know Edmonton is really hurting for defense. And there's other teams, too, that are hurting for defense. So why would they not pick up Subban and give up something substantial?
Oh, I think a lot of people would want PK. I just don't think that the Predators want to go that route at this point. Now, you've said something. Vinny, I'll let you go on that because I want to get some other callers in here. 737-1025 is the number. Jump on in there, and we're just kicking around now. You've heard the smoke. Now, we're talking about Elliot Friedman here. We're talking about some pretty plugged-in heavy hitters around hockey that are – I've all sort of zeroed in on the Predators wanting to be a pretty big player here. They've talked about Duchesne specifically, but they've floated out a lot of different things here. Just your thoughts from where you sit as a fan of what you'd be willing to give up, what is the right way to go? I think PK Subban, if I'm not mistaken, he has a no-trade clause. Down the road, I do think the issue, and we've discussed this before, when they re-sign or sign Roman Yossi to an extension, which they will, they've got him all the way through next year at his current price, which is $4 million. It's one of the best bargains in hockey. That is going to change big time, but not for 2 years. And so 2 years down the road, they are going to have to decide in their salary cap structure, can you have four ace defensemen all making good money? Now, I'll say this, Matthias Ekholm's an ace, and he'll make the fewest dollars of the four starting next year, which is pretty amazing too. So they could make it work, but is that the way they want to structure your team? Then I think you could maybe invite any kind of discussion like that, but that's a little bit down the road. I cannot see them making any kind of move like that. They are structured right now to have the four ace defensemen. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. All right, let's go to Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, good morning, Willie. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
I just got to ask two quick things. First thing is, at some time, people got to look at Duchesne's history and ask, why can't this young, talented kid last anywhere? It constantly seems like he's wearing out his welcome somewhere and not living up to his potential. I don't think he's a good fit in this locker room. From everything you hear, this is a very close-knit team. It seems like these guys get along very well. I think if I was the GM, I would target Simmons. I want the big body. I want the locker room presence. I want the contract that comes off the books. You're not looking at a $10 million a year contract for 8 years. I think he's a better fit against what you need to go against with the Golden Knights and the Jets. And I would rather go with Simmons. And my other quick point is when you guys revisit the trades that Darren talked about that never happened, you've got to talk about 1985 Phil Esposito with the Rangers getting Messier and Gretzky for $10 million in cash. And Sonny Werblin, the president of the Rangers, vetoing the deal for the money, and the Eric Lindros trade that the Rangers end up going to arbitration and losing after they had a deal in place.
Oh, great hockey history right there, Ricky. Really good stuff. It's interesting. I have not heard. I mean, it's not me directly, but when I'm reading all of the people that keep swirling all of the talks and what they're hearing, the Simmons stuff has cooled off a little bit, don't you think? I know the Flyers have played very well recently, but realistically, they're still a long shot to make the playoffs. I know maybe there are some people saying, well, maybe they should just hang on to Simmons and see if they could get in there. But I think when you look at the numbers, there are a lot of numbers that suggest that Simmons is a little bit past his prime. He still could really help a power play. But 5-on-5, could he play second-line minutes and be a big upgrade for the Predators the way they want to play? I'm not sure. And especially now that they have Boyle, right? Now that they went for Boyle.
But you're able to adjust your lineup now and move Boyle to the fourth line. You put Simmons up on the second line right wing, stick him in front of the net, let him bang home rebounds. And that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping for lightning in a bottle at the trade deadline, refresh this guy's career. He's only, I believe he's 31. Not really too old, not young, but in the playoffs, a set of big hands and a giant body like that, that's something you want for a seven-game series.
Yeah.
He brings some stuff to the table.
I don't get me wrong. And, Ricky, I'll let you go on that because I want to hit on one other point that you mentioned. You know, the question marks about Duchesne, is he the right guy? How is he going to work in a locker room? That kind of thing. I will say this. I have heard some things, nothing awful about Matt Duchesne or anything like that. But, you know, there's, you know, does he have a Jonathan Toews kind of makeup? Not by reputation, but I will say this. When Ryan Johansson was being rumored before he was traded to the Predators, you heard things about Ryan Johansson. Hey, he's young. You know, does he keep himself in shape? Is he really going to be a franchise? Is he really a number one center? I think he's answered all those questions. He's matured. He's gotten better. Now, Duchesne's older than Johansson was at the time, and so maybe he's more of a finished product. But Duchesne's production is unmistakable, for sure. So just something to keep in mind. When we come back, we'll get more of your phone calls. A lot of you want to weigh in on this. You've heard all the trade rumors. We played you some of the clips that Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick were kicking around there. What do you think? What would you give up? How do you feel about the whole thing? Predators at the trade deadline. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of your phone calls here on 102.5 The Game. We're back here at Barrel House talking Nashville Predators. They play tonight against the Los Angeles Kings. They will host the resurgent Colorado Avalanche, who have now pieced together a couple wins. And the Avs did Nashville a solid last night and ripped the Winnipeg Jets 7-1. So be careful what you wish for. It's good that they beat the Jets, but they're also going to come in to this building with a lot of confidence. They actually split up their super line. And it actually worked, so that'll be an interesting thing to follow. In the meantime, you deal with the Los Angeles Kings, who are 4-4-2 in their last 10, but they had won 3 in a row. It's actually 4 in a row, I think. And then they lost the last 5, I believe, a couple of them in OT. So interesting backdrop to this game tonight. And if you missed it earlier, Victor Arvidsson and Craig Smith did not skate in the morning skate. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're out tonight, but they were not available at the morning skate today. Now, let's go back to the phones. We played you a lot of the different rumors that Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick floated out there on their 31 Thoughts podcast, which is Very tuned in, very good stuff. And we're throwing it out to you. What do you think about some of these rumors? And what is the right price to pay if you want to upgrade the roster? Now, Josh, back in the studio, I'm having a little trouble with the computer here, but I believe the next guy up is Paul on line six. Paul, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Man, I like DeShane, and I'm with you. I don't. You can't argue his production. And it's hard for me for people to say when he was on two pretty awful teams, you didn't think you could hang them being awful at those times on him being there or getting better on him leaving. That's just something I don't agree with. Three assets seems like too much to me, and I know he's been injured, and I don't think you're going to get anything for him, but Kyle Turris is just significantly overpaid for the way he's playing. And again, I don't know if he's had enough time to get back into the groove, but he never found it in the playoffs last year. I don't know if that's trade bait. And the PK Subban trade stuff is crazy. And this is pie in the sky, but the only way I'd even think about PK Subban is if you're packaging a deal to the Blue Jackets getting Panarin and getting Seth Jones to come back, which will literally never happen.
I don't think they're doing that, that's for sure. I would love to have Seth Jones, but I don't doubt.
I think two pieces for DeShane is a worthwhile deal. I could live without Craig Smith. I know Fiala's so young. Everyone's on his case. That's hard for me to stomach giving up. I kind of feel the same way about Tolvanen. Fabro is, that's whatever. I mean, that's something that they could go, but I don't think he has the ability to do it. But a NHL player, a prospect, and a pick feels like too much.
That feels like a lot. If it's a current player, your top prospect, and your first-round pick, that seems like a lot to give up, even if you're making an agreement for a long-term commitment from, if it is DeShane. That's a high price to pay. But we'll see. We'll see if it comes down to that. What we don't know is how many other teams are calling in and putting up a comparable offer. You know, what's the next best offer for Ottawa? And I think that's an important part of the equation.
And, yeah, I think everyone is so twisted up and worried about the Jets. I think I read this morning that Liney has been pointless in some absurd 16 games, some outrageous number. People need to get worried about some other folks in the Blues, some of these sleeper teams that are looking like the real deal.
Right, that is true. We've had this, and Paul, we'll let you go on this because we got a lot of people that want to weigh in. But it is easy to sit there and look at the Jets, especially because the last time they played, the Jets came in here and won as, you know, an invincible Goliath, and they are a great team, don't get me wrong, but they've got their issues as well, and we also don't know what they have up their sleeve at the trade deadline. Let's go to Bicycle Boy next. By the way, we're taking your phone call, 737-1025. Jump on in there. We're just weighing in all the latest trade rumors here as we get closer and closer to crunch time. Bicycle Boy, how you doing?
Hey, Willie, doing all right. First of all, Ricky brought up a good point about DeShane, and that's not the first time I've heard that. So, you know, I think those are legitimate concerns. The guy who thought we should trade PK, look, you know, I'd be happy if we could trade PK, but the reality is nobody's going to want to pick up that salary for a guy who, again, in my opinion, is on the back end of the current premium on players with
speed. Well, this is what's interesting. Let me throw this point at you, because when you're talking about Subban right now or Kyle Turris, both have been brought up here, you're talking about two guys that over the long haul have been extremely productive players who right now their stock is down. If you look at how they played in the last month or 2 months or this season, they've had, for one reason or another, injuries. They both had significant injuries, and they've both not really rounded into form, and I think they would both say that since they've been back. But let's not lose sight of how good these guys have been and still will be. It's not like they're 35 years old. They should bounce back in time and play well. So it's easy to say, okay, the guy's stocked down, let's just get rid of him. But I don't know that that's really a fair answer.
Well, I would disagree. I would say PK came here and his first season was great, and then last year was not, you know.
Last year was not. He was a Norris Trophy finalist last year.
Well, I wouldn't have voted for him for the Norris
Trophy. But I'm just saying, he was a Norris Trophy finalist. Let's not say last year was not good.
Well, Yeah, I've just seen a gradual decline, and it's like I've said in the past, that the trend for speed, skill, and size, I think, is gradually just leaving him behind. But again, nobody's going to take that salary cap, so.
I don't know. I think if you actually put him on, they have not shopped him around in any way, shape, or form. Now, down the road, as we mentioned, when Yossi's new contract comes in, you're going to have some decisions to make. But until then, I just don't think it's discussable at all. It's not going to happen. And I think there is no trade stuff that they inherited from Montreal, if I remember correctly. And I may be wrong on that. 737-1025 is the number. Darren is back. I believe Pete Weber is going to join us in the next segment, too. So let's get to a couple more calls real quick. Nate is up next. Nate, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. I haven't seen the Elliott Friedman, or I haven't listened to the podcast, so I don't really know what he was talking about. I know Duchesne was in there.
Well, nutshell, it was that there is significant interest in Duchesne, and they were kicking around different things that the Predators – may or may not be willing to throw in there, and Duchesne's apparent connection in like of Nashville,
yeah,
and willingness perhaps to sign a long-term contract a la Kyle Turris if he were to be traded here. That's what they reported.
Okay, well, and I mean, I would like to have Duchesne or even Stone. I know Stone, it seems
like Stone has not been really put out on the market.
But
there's no question everybody loves Mark Stone.
Yeah, well, if he does get put out on the market, I think everybody's going to overpay for him, so I don't think it's going to be possible for Stone. But Duchesne, I don't understand why everybody's saying we would trade or should trade P.K. Subban, because since it seems like the most of the Preds market wants to get rid of him, well, you would think that teams are listening to that and are like, I don't know if we want PK if Nashville doesn't like him, because Nashville is a very good defensive team.
Well, nobody like Friedman or Merrick, let's just be clear, has said they're going to trade PK Subban. That has not happened. Although Nick Kiprios did say down the road, and this is what we have said the same thing, once Roman Josi is signed to a new contract, then you are going to have four defensemen being paid really, really good money, and you might have a decision to make at that point. But right now, in this moment, P.K. Subban is not being traded at the deadline. It's just not going to happen. Let's go to Cap. Final call before we go to the break. Cap, welcome to the show.
Hey, Willie. How you doing? Long time no talk to.
Hey, Cap.
Hey, listen. Are the Kings sellers, are they buyers or sellers right now, the Kings? Because I think they're out of it, aren't they?
They're out of it. I think they would love to get rid of the contract of Ilya Kovalchuk. And the other guy you hear a lot is Carl Hagelin, is a veteran guy who's been on some really good playoff teams that has not really had a good year.
How about Kopitar?
That one you hear that they would not get rid of Kopitar. That's a guy that they want to keep long-term as they rebuild.
Oh, I love that guy.
Anybody would love him.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking, I didn't know if you could probably lose Kopitar from the Kings, but, boy, put him on that second line and we'd be tough to defend.
The guy that you do hear some is Tyler Toffoli, who has one more year remaining on his contract. And when you do have that, it tends to cost a little bit more to get a guy like that because you have the cost certainty. And he has had somewhat of an off year, 12 goals, 15 assists. And he's a guy that has hit, I think, the 30-goal mark, not in the too-distant past. But he's more along the lines of at his career of like a Craig Smith, a steady guy who is in his mid-20s that is a year away from another contract to where, he'll be getting into his 30s if he signs a long-term deal. So you hear his name, but I don't know if that strikes any interest. I bet it does strike interest with somebody. I just don't know if it's Nashville. So, Cap, on that, we'll let you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Great to hear from you. When we come back, Pete Weber is going to join us. Darren will rejoin the mix as well, and we'll see what they learned downstairs in the locker room as the Predators get ready to play the Los Angeles Kings tonight. Stay tuned. This is Darren and Donick, ESPN Radio, 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back.
Back here on Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, The Voice, Pete Weber, here in Jack Daniels, Bear House Predators, and Los Angeles Keens tonight at 7 o'clock. He knows a thing or two about the Keens. Pregame at 6. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Nick Bonacani, I told you during the break that I couldn't sleep last night after the Duke-North Carolina game. Actually, that probably should have put me to sleep, but I couldn't sleep.
The Nike executives couldn't either.
I guess you think they had some meetings this morning?
I think they had them overnight.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, they released a statement, so I guess they did. But I stumbled upon Nick Bonacani's documentary on HBO at the very beginning. I mean, it had just started, and I ended up watching the whole thing. What a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot. That's what I love about documentaries. You learn, you know, I knew obviously his days with Miami and playing at Notre Dame. And there's a lot of stuff I knew. But, man, I didn't remember him being the CEO of
in the smokeless tobacco
industry. I mean, he made way more money after football. He's a Hall of Famer, made way more money in the business world than he ever did playing.
Well, let's face it. When he came pro from Notre Dame and went to the Patriots, that was a period of time where the guys, even though there had been a war between the AFL and the NFL, he never really got to be at the top of that beneficiary line.
Just
I was just saying, sorry, we are.
No.
It's involving the game tonight. Just a trade that a lot of people have speculated that this player would be traded to somebody. The Los Angeles Kings have traded Carl Hagelin to the Washington Capitals. That makes sense. Devontae Smith-Pelly clearing waivers.
Yep.
He gets through. They send him down. They bring in Hagelin, a speedy, gritty guy that has played on some very, very good teams, including the Pittsburgh Penguins that team that beat the Predators a couple years ago.
So his third team of the season.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. That had to have been him I was walking behind coming up here. Because, you know, you don't see players leaving the building.
Not before the team skate.
Right, and I was trying to figure out who this is a player, but he had his hood up over his head, and he was leaving the arena, and now that makes sense.
That's like the old perp walk on the evening news, the guys that cover up that don't want to be talked to.
I didn't see who it was, and I'm not even sure if that was him, but that would make sense because going through my mind walking behind him before I got up here is, what player's leaving the building at this time? No, there's no player that leaves the building at this time, and now that makes sense.
Was he wearing any Wolverine stuff?
I only saw the back.
Okay, didn't see the claws at any point.
I didn't see anything in the front. But anyway.
The Kings get a third rounder plus a conditional sixth round pick in 2020.
If they re-sign him. If the Capitals re-sign him.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
But it was sad, to going back to Bonacani, that his son obviously had sustained the injury.
Man.
And it was against East Tennessee State.
Yes, it was.
I didn't remember that in Johnson City.
Right.
And obviously his son was paralyzed in that game, never to walk again.
And we didn't think there'd be any way he would still be with us.
Oh, no. They didn't think he was going to make it.
That night.
Right. Yeah. They didn't think he was going to make it when it happened. And then now you see Nick dealing with Alzheimer's and just a lot of stuff going on with him as his life is winding down. But what a life he lived, man.
And all the money he raised for the Miami Project.
Man, millions upon millions.
Yep.
So what do you think of tonight's game? Because this is an interesting team. L.A. is clearly a seller. They've been selling for a couple of weeks now.
Yep.
This is – what is this now? Three? Started with Muzzin. Then it went, what, Nate Thompson?
Well, and
now
this Tanner Pearson.
Yeah. Tanner Pearson earlier.
Earlier than that. So they are clearly a team that is selling after winning a couple of Stanley Cups.
And now they've traded the guy that they got for Pearson.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you make of this Keens team?
Well, it's amazing to me. They're actually still within shouting distance of having a shot. They have too many teams to pass is my first read on that. But they can make things very, well, nerve-wracking for the clubs they play from here on out. And they have two of them with the Preds.
I wonder what that's like in a room, especially like a room like that when you know, even though technically nobody in the Western Conference we've been talking about is out of it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, I mean, the Ducks lost 19-21, and we're sitting like 5 points out of the playoff spot.
The Blues were pronounced dead in January.
Right, and now they're in the playoffs, and right now the way they're playing, firmly in the playoffs.
The Blackhawks were in the playoffs for about a half an hour last night, and they were in the coroner's office in Cook County a couple of months ago, too.
Oh, man, they were below the, they were buried beneath the Blues.
Yes.
Until Colorado destroyed Winnipeg last night. But I wonder what it's like being in a room when you know it's almost like you're waiting for the ball to drop and you're wondering, is it going to be me? Is it going to be the guy next to me?
Yeah.
The stall to the right, the stall to the left.
I mean, the nervous stomach. If the cell phone rings, there's a panic.
Yeah.
That sort of reaction. It's difficult. It's very difficult. And the Preds had a few years like that here.
They did.
So, Pete, taking a look at what we saw in Dallas the other night and seeing if the Predators can sort of, you know, replicate some of the good stuff there. 47 shots. You really like the way Dallas had been playing defense and keeping teams from getting to those, quote, high danger areas, getting into the low slot. I thought the Predators had a lot of opportunities down there. They gave up a few of their own.
Yeah, they did.
And it was kind of one of those games that just, for whatever reason, opened up. But the offensive push, I thought, looked really good. They had balance up and down the lineup. You had a good net front presence there. If they can keep some of that going, that's a really good sign.
It impressed me that game as it unfolded, a lot like an arena football game. Who was going to know, make the one stop that would be critical, as it would turn out? Pekka had more than a few of those. And then the third period belonged to Roman Josi. That was, let's just take the empty net goal out of it. He controlled the puck in that third period. Thus, they were able to convert, and they got the win.
We talk to Hal Gill about this all the time, and you're working with him every night. But it seems to me that he should be in the discussion for the Norris Trophy, for sure.
I think high in the discussion.
Yeah. But it hasn't really emerged. There seems to be, when it's floated out there among a national show, whether it be on satellite radio or on the NHL Network or one of the networks in Canada, I don't know if I'm hearing his name as much as I think we should hear his name.
I agree with you there, and I think, though, that when I talk with other scouts that are at Predators games from other teams, they say, oh, 59's the best player on the ice. 59's the best player on the ice. So usually when scouts get that sort of thing going, it does get picked up on.
Boy, I hope it filters over to the people that end up voting for that, because he deserves to get in there. It reminds me of some of those years where Shea Weber was at his best and not getting over the hump in terms of the PR and the hype, because it does take a little bit of both to actually get the award.
Well, keep in mind how long and then how many he won. Nick Lidstrom had to wait to get the acclamation finally.
And then he got it. Once he got in there, then he probably won a couple where maybe he was not his best. I mean, he's got a high standard.
He's
one of the best ever, for sure. But he probably won a couple when he was past his prime.
Yep.
So we'll see if that ever happens for Roman Josi. The caller before the break mentioned Kopitar. And this is the thing about a team like the Kings. On paper, you're sitting there going, well, this Nashville should come in. They should wipe the floor with the Kings. We saw what happened last week against the Red Wings.
Yep.
But every team has good players. And so on a particular night, if you're not ready to play, we just saw it with the Jets, got beat twice by the Senators. I'm sure they're scratching their heads. How does that happen? But every team brings
something
to the table.
Too.
Oh, yeah. But this is what they have to avoid tonight. They have to make sure they're ready to play.
And this is a team, the Predators still play twice going down the stretch here, once coming out there next month. Yes, be wary. And I'll be curious when I get my lineup sheet from tonight's game to see how much it's going to resemble the one in March in Los Angeles, because I'm looking for them making changes to be sure. For someone to get Anje Kopitar, though, they have to have a lot of cap space.
Boy, yeah, I cannot imagine that that's a guy they would move. I think that's one of their pillars that they're going to hold on to. But I would wonder if they're going to make another move or two before
I think
it's
they
over.
Will.
Yeah,
I think they will.
By the way, the Ducks re-signed Silverberg to a 5-year deal. So they gave him a 5-year extension.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. This sort of illustrates the Ducks' issues with the cap. They can't announce it yet.
Right.
Because they still have some stuff that they got to work
They've
out.
They've got to do some stuff on paper.
Yeah, which apparently was very too complicated. I was watching last night's game between the Golden Knights and the Bruins, and Bob McKenzie was trying to explain it. He goes, I cannot explain it.
Yeah.
But they can't announce it yet. But that's a guy they really wanted to keep. That's one less name on the trade block, right, of who can
Who would
who
be
can
a desirable commodity.
Oh, I mean, no question.
Great speed, scores goals, and he's very tough to contain.
What did you think of the Wild Bruins trade?
With Coyle?
Yeah.
I think Coyle's the best player in that trade.
Definitely.
In my mind, without any question. When he goes home, now this will be San Jose, Minnesota, and Boston to get back home. Is that going to help or hurt him? Usually it has helped the players going back home to Boston. And the Bruins, well, they're in a situation right now that they could really prosper from this move, because I think Charlie Coyle has not been performing up to his standard at all this year for Minnesota, but there's a lot of people in that mix in Minnesota who are doing the same thing, not as well as you expected.
Tampa, everything Boston, Toronto, in the first, you know, that little bracket.
Yeah.
Just like last year.
By the way, how did he get to Minnesota?
Well, that was the Brent Burns.
Brent deal. Burns.
Yep. And Danny Heatley, I believe, in that deal, too.
Woo! But everything I've read on him is Minnesota's been trying over the years to do a lot of things to get him going,
yeah,
so to speak. Sound familiar?
I've had quite a few conversations with Mike Russo about that,
yeah,
over the years.
Philip Forsberg, when are you going to announce, when do you think it's going to happen when you're going to call one of those lacrosse moves a goal?
I don't think it's going to be long. I think Khudobin was incredibly alert to
that. Yes, he was.
Without any question. And how he picked up on it so quickly. But that's the thing. This is the thing I asked Hal on the air. How did Philip, in pretty good speed, pretty good pace, grab control of that puck quickly as he did to even attempt that?
That's what I think people probably are underappreciating, because the guys that have done it before in a game, everyone that I've seen, the guy's usually standing behind the net,
yeah,
and picks it up and reaches, but he's not – Philip Forsberg, as you mentioned,
he's in motion.
He's not maybe full speed, but he's got at least three-quarter speed going around the back of the net as he's picking the puck up,
right,
and has enough control to wire it back around. That's the impressive part.
Philip, I've already talked to, and he is willing to get involved if we do – get him into a baseball park in a fungo contest, the way he can control things. It's kind of like that. You remember the ad that Tiger Woods had years ago where he's fungoing the golf ball up and down on the wedge? I think Philip can outdo that.
That needs to be a commercial, I think.
Yeah, I thought he traveled, though. I really did. I really thought he traveled. One of those is going to happen. He keeps doing it. It's going to happen soon.
That's what we talked about. Also, you talk about traveling. We thought – a Penguins fan was talking to me and somewhat disgusted about the way Sidney Crosby was double dribbling PK's head during the Stanley Cup final. He should have been called.
That could have been called too. Yeah.
Yes,
missed call for sure. In all seriousness, that goal may end up being big down the stretch. I mean, because that was a bad little stretch there where Dallas, everything was going their way. They had taken the lead, two quick goals by them, and that goal right there to tie it back up before the period ended, we may look back and say that ended up being a critical goal.
That was persistence too, right? Because the great move doesn't work, then you keep on working, and how in the heck he got control of the puck on the other side of the net later on in that sequence, it's beyond me.
Yeah, that's the type of goal we've been talking about this team needs to be able to score against a team that hasn't been giving up a lot of goals like that, fighting one-on-one, winning a battle in front of the net and scoring. You know, just one of those greasy, ugly goals. Boyle had one earlier in the game like that.
Did.
I mean, those are the kind of goals you need to be able to score.
This is a big homestand. It'll be interesting to see if they can take advantage of, at least on paper, right, the schedule, the next three games. If they can take care of business and get 5-6 points, what the standings will look like as we sit here Monday night after the trading deadline.
And as we arrive shortly after midnight in St. Louis on Tuesday morning, will the Blues still be on their current undefeated streak?
Yep, they get Dallas.
That's right. Good to see you. We'll talk to you tonight.
Thank you very much. And, yes, folks, if you get a chance, they repeat everything on HBO. Watch the Nick Buonocore biography.
It's really good. Really good. I've seen it on there before and said I've got to make sure to DVR that or watch it. And last night I did, and it's well worth it. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren and Donnie next. And then we're going to head up to Ottawa. We're going to talk to Ian Mendez with TSN 1200 up in Ottawa. We've been talking about this a lot this morning as Carl Hagelin, who was a member of the Los Angeles Kings, just got traded to the Capitals. Is that right?
Traded to the Capitals for a third-round pick.
He is not playing tonight for them.
Played for the Capitals tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
That is not going to happen because I think they are playing. They are up in Toronto playing the Maple Leafs tonight, so he will not play for them this evening. But we'll talk about the situation that's going on. It's been there's a lot of buzz. As we said, there's a lot of smoke. Question is, how much fire is there? What is going to happen? And you would think sooner rather than later, considering. Remember when they traded for Kyle Turris, how long it took him a little extra time. You know what it's like trying to get out of Canada. It's easier said than done. Sometimes it takes longer, so you would want that whole process to be sooner rather than later, as tonight is going to be game 62 of the season. So, or 63,
yeah,
excuse
there's,
me.
There's they've played immigration more than, issues.
Yeah.
I sometimes.
Mean, you got to go through that whole process. So, We'll do that to wrap things. Also, fourth and final hour, we'll talk to Chris Childers. We'll talk about the college basketball scene. There were some big games last night, some surprising finishes. Nevada went down. Remember the team that had the big comeback win here, made the run in the NCAA tournament, highly ranked team. They went down last night. Duke obviously got with everything that happened with Zion Williamson. And I'm going to bring this up with Chris Childers, something we didn't talk about earlier, because we've talked about this before, and I wonder if this is going to be brought up. Now, Coach K has come out and said this is a mild knee sprain. You know, nothing to see here. Everything is going to be all right. But what's the new trend with today's athlete? Remember, this is going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's not a borderline first-round pick. Could be late first. Could be second round. Second round has no guarantees. This is the number one pick in the NBA draft. Will there be a discussion of him shutting things down? He doesn't seem like that kid. He comes off like a kid that's got his stuff together. Everybody likes. He loves the college basketball scene. But, hey, he's got a family. He's got people he listens to, parents and others, that know that this is also a business for him. His future is what's going to be next year, where he could possibly set up his entire family for everybody for the rest of their lives. And this is the trend. So does that creep into the discussion with this little scare?
Well, it takes one guy with a microphone to say it, and it becomes, quote, part of the discussion. I don't think it's going to happen. My thought on it when it came up earlier in the season was, A, There are very few injuries in basketball that are truly career-threatening, that would really have him drop from the top pick in the draft because of anything that would happen to him from here until the end of the season. Number two, they're trying to win a national championship. They have a very good chance of winning a national championship. That's worth playing for sure. So put those two things together, and I think it's very unlikely that anything would have him seriously thinking about that.
Seriously? I mean,
absolutely.
No way. No way you
Why?
Could say seriously.
Well,
first of all, the national championship thing is great, but he's also, like I said, has the rest of his life and the future of a lot of people in his hands. And that was a non-contact play, and that could have been a whole lot worse.
Okay,
could have been a whole lot worse.
For you to slough it off
and act like, oh, well, Duke, they're going to play for national. Well, yeah, you don't think Ohio State was equipped with the best player in college football last year in Bosa to win a national championship, but yet he gets hurt in the TCU game, and he could have came back. He just at some point just said, you know what, I'm going to worry about my future. I'm not going to worry about this Ohio State team that could probably win a national championship with my services. Instead, he shut it down. The best player in college football.
Well,
the number one pick in the draft.
Well, I think football is a lot different than basketball.
I understand the injury situation.
The risk in football is way higher than the risk in basketball. So I'm waiting to hear what the injury would be to Zion Williamson that would make him not be the first pick in the draft?
Well, I just don't think that's... I would say torn ACL would make him...
He'd still be the first pick in the draft.
Maybe.
Why would he not be the first pick in the draft?
Yeah, but you think the Knicks or whoever's going to get him, that you think they'd like to have him next season? Yeah.
I would take him even if he missed next season.
Well, of course, but
there's
a lot of people that are going to tell him, hey, you should at least talk about it. You should at least consider it.
He could hurt his ACL in the NBA camp warming up for the draft. He'll still be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, but for you to act like in today's landscape.
It's a non-issue.
Oh, it's a non-issue. It's just ridiculous.
Absolute non-issue.
That's a ridiculous statement.
Well, if
you to act like today that kids are not discussing that, whenever we have example after example of that happening.
Where,
please.
In basketball? Where are the examples?
Oh, like it can't creep into basketball?
Wait a minute. You just said we have example after example. Where are the examples in basketball?
Who was the kid from Missouri last year?
He came back and played.
Yeah, at the very, very end.
When he was healthy enough.
And then
when he was cleared, he played.
Yeah, when he played two games?
Well, yeah, but he came back and played. He didn't shut it down.
It didn't help him.
What do you mean it didn't help him? It
didn't help him at all. He didn't look very good. But for you to act
you
like
are
the number
who you
one
are.
Pick,
you come back
the number
and play.
One in the pick in the draft is not discussing this behind the scenes is silly.
It's not silly
There's
at all.
There's a lot on the line.
If he thought that, then don't even go to Duke. Don't even set foot on campus. Go sit out of here until you're eligible to go to the draft.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to play in Europe.
I'm not saying don't play at all. Why don't you just go into a glass case and lock yourself in like Will Ferrell in Anchorman? That way you won't get hurt.
Well,
you can get hurt doing anything.
The rules say yes, you can. You can also have a non-contact play and your shoe explode down.
Basketball is different than football. Basketball, there's not nearly the contact. Yes, he could get twisted around. He could even tear his ACL. He would still be the first pick in the draft.
Maybe so. But maybe he would like to play in the NBA next year.
Of course he would like to play in the – maybe he would like to win a national championship.
Maybe.
Wouldn't that be a nice memory to
he
have?
Seems
Are
like,
we acting like doesn't mean anything to try to go win a national championship?
He seems like that type of kid.
I think he is that type of kid. Otherwise, he would not have gone to play for Mike Krzyzewski.
Well, I mean, I would say that why wouldn't Bosa want to win a national championship?
That's football. Football is different than basketball. It's not the same thing.
Right, but kids get injured. This is the best kid in college basketball.
Yes, and therefore, even if he gets injured, he will be the first pick in the draft.
I'm just saying, it's going to be discussed. If you don't think
it is not going to be discussed.
You're crazy.
Now, somebody, Scottie Pippen was the guy that said it before. I'm sure somebody will say it. It's not real. It's not a smart
Scottie
decision.
Scottie Pippen said it before anything ever happened to Zion Williamson and said, this kid should shut it down.
Because he gets fouled hard. He's going to get fouled hard because he's not a great outside shooter, and there are going to be people that put him on the free throw line. That's going to happen next year too. It's going to happen at the draft camps when he goes in there. He could get hurt at any time. He's going to be the first pick in the draft.
We'll come back. We'll head to Ottawa to kick off the third hour. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.